Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, June 27th, 2013. Tonight's guest wrote her first book, How Big Is Your Umbrella, to describe her own grief journey after the death of her son. Her latest book, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, has earned Sheila Ray Gregoire the title of the Christian Sex Lady. But recently it also earned her the Word Guild's Grace Irwin Award, a $5,000 prize which is Canada's largest literary award for writers who are Christian. Sheila's on the phone with us from her Belleville home office, and we'll be talking to her a few minutes about her writing and her win. But before we begin our conversation with Sheila, let's take a listen to Somewhere Beyond from Allie Matthews' Carry Me Home CD.
An iron fist in a velvet glove. Oh, the turning, twisting ways of love. I'll never claim to understand, but I believe you hold the answers in your hand. A killing wind, an orphan's cry. There's so much pain and I don't know the reason why. But I hear you say, my child, it won't be long. For peaceful waters, they will flow somewhere beyond. So I will sing till I hear the sweetest angel song, and find my rest out on a new horizon. I'll fix my eyes somewhere beyond. Somewhere beyond. It's just a little piece of a bigger part. It's just the journey of an undercover heart. But with the walk of love, the ways of grace, maybe bring a little mercy to this place. So I will sing until my heart stops beating, until I hear
now to our interview with writer Sheila Ray Gregoire. Good evening, Sheila.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Yeah. Let's go back to the beginning and give our listeners a little bit of background on you. What got you interested in writing?
Well, it wasn't really anything that I ever did on purpose. At one point, I overheard someone tell this really funny story to someone else, and I sent it into Reader's Digest, and I made $200 off of it. And I thought, you know, that wasn't that hard. I wonder if there's other things like this I can do. So I just started writing small things for magazines back in the late 90s, and from there, everything kind of grew, but it wasn't anything that I had planned.
So you sort of had success right off.
Yeah, well, and I shouldn't say that it was, I mean, I was looking for something to do with my kids when they were napping and I was looking after them, but so I wanted some kind of intellectual stimulation. And when this Reader's Digest thing worked, I went to the Toronto Public Library and I got out every book they had on how to write for magazines, and I just taught myself how to do it. So I did work hard at it, but it wasn't a thought that had occurred to me my whole life.
So that sort of led you through this to this whole nonfiction route, because that's all of your books are predominantly nonfiction.
That's right, and I would love to do fiction one day. I have a couple of different novels in my head, but I'm not sure if I'll ever have the courage to try it.
So you also started writing newspaper columns. How did that whole thing come about?
Well, I think I started locally first. My first column was in my local paper. And when I had my first book come out back in 2003, I was reading all these marketing books on how to sell your book. And they all said, you'll do better if you have a column or just have a way that people know about you. So I approached our local newspaper, and I gave them a couple of samples, and so they hired me to start writing a column. And then I guess once I started doing that, different Christian magazines asked me to do different things. So I've been writing the Promise Keepers women's column for mm-hmm. quite a while, and then different things over the years as well.
And you've been able to, two of your books are actually collections of your columns.
Yeah, and you know, the columns are fun because they're the only thing that I do in the secular world. And I make almost no money on them. I mean, for people who think there's money in writing, it's very difficult to make a living as a writer. But it's really fun because I live in a small town. I live in Belleville, and everybody reads this thing. And so I'll go into the grocery store, and people will talk about my column last week. So every now and then I feel like I should quit because I've been doing this for 13 years now, and I really mm-hmm. feel like I have nothing else to say. But just the fact that people read it, and I'm able to talk from a Christian worldview, not necessarily a Christian viewpoint. Like, I can't give Christian answers to things, but I can talk from my worldview, mm-hmm. and I think it does have an impact. So I don't think I can give that up because I see it as ministry.
Right. And now, you said you were starting, you had written your first book, and then you got into the columns and that. How did the book itself come out? That was How Big Is Your Umbrella, right?
No, the first one was To Love, Honor, and Vacuum. And I, again, when I went to the Toronto Public Library and I bought all these books on how to write, they all said that publishers won't publish a book unless you've been writing. Like, you can say that you have a lot of credits. And so I made it my goal that once I had 12 major magazine articles with major Christian magazines, that I would then try to write a book proposal. And I did that, and they took To Love, Honor, and Vacuum back in 2003. But it's funny how things have changed. I don't think that you could do that today.
No, the industry itself has changed drastically.
That's right. It's very different. So I went the traditional route, and today it's like you have to build your credentials. Your platform is what they call it. That's the buzzword. So you have to have this huge online presence and online blog, and you have to have your audience first before a publisher will look at you. So it's a very different world today.
Yeah, and they're even looking at things like, you know, calling it your platform and developing your brand and the whole thing. And you end up doing a lot more of the marketing for the publisher than the publisher themselves do for you.
That's right. And that was a big eye-opener for me. I always knew that, but even with my latest book, I'm with a huge Christian publisher, and I assumed that they would know what they were doing. and really, I did. I ended up doing most of the marketing that actually worked. Mm-hmm. So when you're a writer, you have to be a jack of all trades. It isn't writing the book is the most minor thing that you do. The big part is that building your platform and the speaking and the marketing and all of these other things that we don't think of as part of writing. So it's a difficult thing because you're thinking, okay, I have this message that God's given me, and I'm responsible for getting it out there. And I don't do it just by writing. I have to figure out how to actually speak into the culture with marketing it, and it's difficult.
Well, what I find is that most writers, especially the ones I know, and myself included, that marketing element, we don't have that marketing personality. I mean, I've worked in journalism for 30 years, and I've worked with salespeople, and there's a personality that most salespeople have that I find most writers don't have. And so to put that marketing hat on becomes a real shift, even in sort of skill sets and personality sets that writers really have to kind of develop somewhere along the line.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't even, and we're Canadians too, so add that to the mix as well.
Yeah, we're shy to begin with, yeah.
Because, I mean, do you like talking yourself up?
No, I hate writing query letters.
I know, like trying to say, you know, I'm great and I can do this for you. We don't like saying I'm great. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult for us.
I don't know if it's a matter of saying I'm great or I can do it. It's more a matter of, are they going to like it and are they going to reject me?
Yeah.
You know, you've already got the rejection letter in your hands before you even write the query letter.
That's right.
Well, you know, over the years, and as you've been doing this, who have been some of the people that have influenced either how you've developed your marketing styles or how you've developed as a writer? Who have been some of those influences that have helped you?
It's strange because I don't think most people would recognize their names because they're not necessarily writers in the way that we would think of them. I would say just the big bloggers, because over the last few years I've gotten more and more into blogging and the online world as I've been building my platform, as they like to say. And just some of the bloggers who give great advice on how to market, like Darren Rouse, who goes by the name Pro Blogger, and he's out of Australia, and he's a Christian, but he's built the most incredible platform for himself in two big different ways on the internet, one as a photographer and one as a blogger. But just the advice that he gives, and some of the other prolific bloggers like Ann Voskamp, who wrote 1,000 Gifts. She started as a blogger.
Yep.
And just watching these people blog. And for those of you who don't know what a blog is, it's a strange world out there. It's just you have a website and you write something almost every day, something new, and people just go to read you. It's kind of like having a newspaper column, but it's online.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I don't think people realize how much discipline it takes. And over the last few years, that's what's really come to me when I look at the difference between what I do now and the difference between what I did in 1998 and 1999 when I started was I could write, you know, I could go 2 weeks without writing and then I could work on my next article. And it was comfortable back then. Well, now everything has to be fresh and immediate.
Yep.
And I was sharing with you before we started taping, you know, I'm going camping next week for a week. And that means that before I leave, I have to have all my Facebook statuses and all my Pinterest pins and all my blog stuff up and scheduled so that still happens even when I'm not here. And it's a strange world.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break because we want to come back and talk to you about the Grace Irwin Award and the Grace Irwin Award winning book, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
All the diamonds in this world that mean anything to me are conjured up by wind and sunlight sparkling on the sea.
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to All the Diamonds in the World, Ally Matthews' cover version of the Bruce Coburn tune, which is found on her Carry Me Home CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with writer Sheila Ray Gregoire. Boy, does anybody else have trouble with that?
Oh, Americans can't even do it at all. That's funny.
let's go back. Where did the idea of writing a book about sex come from?
Oh, you know, it wasn't even anything that I planned. So I went to this writers' conference, Write Canada, for the Christian writers every year. It's in Guelph, and I go there almost every year. And I think it was 2009. I was there, and I met this agent from the States. I already had an agent, but the relationship wasn't working out really well for me. And this guy and I really hit it off. And so he became my agent. And we were talking after the conference, and he was asking me for some of my ideas for books. And I rattled off some that I really wanted to write. And there's some that I still really want to write. Because a lot of what I do is speaking at women's retreats. I do a lot of speaking around Canada and the States. I do a lot of retreats, just church retreats, denominational retreats, for women in general. And so I had a number of general women's books, you know, just about going through struggles, going through hard times, but I wanted to write. And I'm reaming these off to him, and he's like, no, it won't work. It won't work. We're in the middle of a recession. No publisher will publish something that's that general from someone who isn't well-known in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, I did have this other idea, you know, The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex, but I don't really want to write it. And he said, now that will sell. He said, that's the one you've got to do. And so it wasn't something that I was totally sold on, but I put myself into it wholeheartedly, which my husband will attest to. And I'm actually really proud of the book. I think it was a lot of fun to write. Mm-hmm. It's much more personal than I originally thought it was going to be, but I think it works that way. And I think it's a really good help. I wrote it as the anti-typical Christian book, because I was given a bunch of books when I was first married that made me so uptight and worried and convinced that everything was like a pass-fail, and I wanted to write a book that would help people just relax.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that whole thing, like, was that also sort of an outcome of some of the stuff you'd already been doing on relationships and that as well?
I've been writing about marriage. Like, my first book, To Love, Honor, and Vacuum, which is also the name of my blog, by the way. So I blog at tolovehonorandvacuum.com, but without the U. I do it the American way. I'm really sorry. But I did. I have been writing about marriage for years, and my husband and I speak at Family Life Marriage Conferences, the Weekend to Remembers, around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage has been something that's always been on my mind. But because I speak at general women's retreats so much, I really wanted a more general book. So I wasn't ever thinking that I was going to plug myself into just the marriage market, because most of the speaking I do is for women in general. But now the book's out, increasingly I'm doing more speaking on marriage and more speaking to married women, and it's actually quite a bit of fun.
Mm-hmm. What's been the reaction to the book?
It's been really good. Women love it, and a lot of men are buying it for their wives to read. You know, my big prayer was just that this becomes kind of like the book that you get for a bridal shower, because I think that if women can get their marriages started off in this area well, that the rest of marriage is so much easier. But it really is a good book, even if you are married. And so, it has been really positive. And I think it's because I speak more like I'm just your big sister talking to you. So many of the Christian sex books are written by couples and much older men, and that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I was trying to write as a woman to other young women, okay, ladies, here's the scoop, and here's what you can do, and this really is supposed to be something that's great.
So what's it been like getting to be known as the Christian sex lady?
It's weird. When I first started speaking on this, you know, you have to practice in the mirror saying words that you never thought you'd say on stage, but it's not so bad. I think we have this misnomer that Christians are way more uptight than we really are. Everywhere I've gone to speak about it, the crowds have been huge, like much larger than for other women's events, because people want to talk about this. And they want information from a Christian point of view. And if we as Christians aren't talking about this, where are they going to get that information?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that happened with this is it ended up being given the Grace Irwin Award, which is the award that the Word Guild gives out for the best book overall, and that's out of all of the entries that have gone into the Word Guild's annual writing contest. What was going through your mind when they started announcing your book as the winner?
I really didn't expect it, first of all. I've been nominated for awards, I don't even know how many times, I think about 10 awards, and I may have won one a couple of years ago for a column, I can't really remember. But I very rarely go to the awards ceremony, and I wasn't planning on going this year, and then I just kept getting this nagging feeling like I should go, and so I dragged my mother there. I thought, you know, maybe I was supposed to meet somebody or encourage somebody, and I was fine with that. And then I was nominated in the Christian Relationships category. That category came and went. I didn't win. And when they announced the Grace Irwin Award, I assumed that I wasn't eligible because I hadn't even won my category. And then when they put the 5 finalists up on the board, and there I was, I was totally shocked. I'm completely floored. So I know that whenever people say win awards, they always say I really wasn't expecting it, but I truly wasn't. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, now that it's been a couple of weeks since the awards, have you recovered from the shock of the awards night?
Yeah, you know what I did? I went out with a bunch of girlfriends for dinner on the Monday after, and it's been so long since I've been together with a bunch of girlfriends, and we just had a great time, so it's been fun to have something to celebrate.
Well, what's it mean to you to win this award? Like, as you're looking back on it now, and it's sort of, you know, the excitement, the shock, what's sort of the reality that this is going to do for the book, for your writing, for, you know, what's happening in the future with your writing and that?
Well, two things. I think the first one is it really gives affirmation that I'm where I'm supposed to be, because I think anyone has doubts, whether you're a writer, a musician, anyone who works in the arts community, you always wonder, is this really what God's calling me to do, or am I just kidding myself? And I've had a lot of those prayers in the last few years. You know, God, I will give this up in a heartbeat if you let me. Mm-hmm. This isn't an easy life. And so to win that award was just confirmation that I really am where God wants me to be. And so that was really good. And I think the other thing that was encouraging was just that, again, more confirmation that Christians really do see the necessity of talking about something that maybe we don't normally talk about in Christian circles. I mean, sex usually is something that's taboo, and I think we're starting to see that we really can talk about this in church. Church really can be something that is relevant to people, to the everyday things they go through, and that's exciting, and I think mm-hmm. there's a lot more opportunity out there for churches to do events. You know, I'll even come in and speak to your church about this. It'll be I have this whole event that's really fun and that's going over really well. But this is an area where we can minister to our communities where they are at. And it's amazing the spiritual repercussions that can have.
Mm-hmm. So have you figured out what you're going to do with the money?
Well, I just hired a manager, and I think he's already spent it. So he wants to buy me a banner for my event. And anyway, lots of things like that. Yeah. Just investing in where we're going from here. So that's fun too.
Yeah. Well, let's take a final break, and after this break, we'll come back and finish our conversation with writer and speaker Sheila Ray Gregoire. I'm your host Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
One ordinary moment, losing this foolish pride, humbled for even just a moment, casting my selfishness aside. Could I bring a simple kind of offering? Could I make a difference to this day? The heartaches of the suffering, and sing with the sorrows of the slaves. For I have eyes to see, and I have ears to hear, to be shaken, an awakening upon me, to be taken to the very deepest part. Sinking in muddy water, no one could even see their pain. Heaven cries for all our sons and daughters, every tear is a
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Break God's Heart from the Carry Me Home CD by Allie Matthews. I'm your host Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Sheila Ray Gregoire. What's your next project? What are you working on, another book right now, or have you thought about what you're going to do in the next little while?
I am. Well, I have three things that I'm doing this summer. So I have a book proposal for my agent on the 11 thoughts that will change your marriage, and that's going to be more of a generic marriage book, but there's some things in there that may not be the typical Christian take on a lot of things about marriage, so I hope that goes over well. I needed to rewrite To Love, Honor, and Vacuum. They're coming out with a second edition, and then I have an e-book that I'm going to release in September. So I have a lot of writing to do this summer, and I'm so looking forward to it. I feel like all I've done is marketing for the last year, and I'm really looking forward to writing again.
Looking at your books and that, a lot of times you sort of, and you've alluded this a couple of times, you sort of say you're doing what's not the typical Christian take on that. Has that been sort of a direction that you really sense God is leading you into? Is you know, this is what I've learned over the years. This is what I feel needs to be discussed. And so I'm going to go, and this might not be what you're getting from the rest of the people that are writing on these topics.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that's my brand. When you say that writers need a brand, I think that my brand is that I'm real and mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I don't believe in prayer or that I don't believe in reading your Bible or any of those things. Of course I do, but I think that sometimes the church just gives that as an answer, mm-hmm. and we don't go deeper. And people are dealing with some awfully rough stuff, and I think that if we don't acknowledge how rough it is and how messy it is in so many people's relationships, things aren't really going to get better.
Right. You've alluded to the active speaking ministry. What's up on your schedule for the next while in that area as well?
Okay, I'm trying to remember what I'm doing in Canada. I actually have a number of tours in the States planned in the fall. I'm in Michigan and I'm in Pennsylvania. And that's new for me because really the majority of my speaking has always been in Canada, but I'm branching out a little bit and I'm hoping to still do some tours in Ontario. So if any churches want me, you can just get me at my website. Just go to tolovehonorandvacuum.com, and there's information. But
and now it's To Love, Honor, and Vacuum. Does that have the U in there?
No U. To Love, Honor with no U in Vacuum.
Okay, and that was my next question, is where can people get more about you? And that's your website, tolovehonorandvacuum.com. Well, Sheila, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Sheila Ray Gregoire. She'll be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.